We're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, which means that we are fully here and yet faithfully there.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today in our series in the book of Philippians. Okay, on behalf of our listeners, I've just got to say it. I don't think of myself as an ambassador. So where are we going with this today?
Yeah, so Paul's going to use this language. He's going to say we're citizens of heaven, and which is a real radical idea for the Philippians, who had a distinction of having citizenship in Rome by virtue of being born in this colony in Philippi. And it was a big deal to them. But Paul's pressing back and he's saying, you think your citizenship in Rome is a big deal. You've got citizenship in heaven, and that's your true home. So you're citizens of earth, but you're actually citizens of heaven. And so while you reside here, your true residency is somewhere else. It's in the kingdom of God. And that means you need to learn to live as dual citizens. Citizens of earth, yes, because you're here and you're fully here, but citizens of heaven, because that's your true home and your greatest allegiance. And that's where your trust and hope needs to reside. And that shapes the way you live as citizens of earth. And so, again, remember, we're talking about Christian maturity. That's the bigger theme. And so one of the aspects of that maturity is the ability to live as citizens of heaven while remaining citizens of earth and living in the tension of being fully here and yet faithfully there. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we're going to be talking about Christian maturity right here in this world. Our text today is Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, to chapter 4, verse 1. This is part 3 of our series, The Basics of Maturity.
So we have the pursuit of maturity, the pattern of maturity now, and finally the prospect of maturity, the prospect of maturity. There are those, Paul says, who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, whose minds are set on earthly things. But, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, it is hard to put into words just how radical this statement is. Philippi had the rare distinction in the ancient world of being one of the official Roman colonies, one of the very few. And so to be born in Philippi was the equivalent of being born in the capital city of Rome itself. In other words, the citizens of Philippi were granted full Roman citizenship with all the rights and privileges thereof. In many ways, the reason for this was that Philippi was home to a lot of retired military officers of the Roman Empire. It was a very patriotic city. They hailed Caesar, who had declared himself the savior of Rome and the Lord of all the earth, who had subjected by his power all the known world to his rule. Philippi lived, breathed, and bled Roman Empire. Now, go back and read these verses again. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Do you see what's happening here? This is a highly charged sentence here. The gospel is reordering the allegiance of the hearts of the Philippian believers. The citizenship, their citizenship in Rome used to be their greatest pride and joy. But now in the gospel, it has become secondary to their citizenship, which is in heaven. Do you see that? Their allegiance used to be to Caesar, who proclaimed himself Savior and Lord of the empire. But their allegiance now is to their Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. They used to bow before the one who had subjected all the known world to his rule and power. And now they bow before the one whose power enables him to subject all things to himself. Not by conquest, you see, but by his self-sacrificing humility and other-centered love. Friends, we are citizens of heaven, and we are awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will return and transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body forever. One day, we will attain the resurrection of the dead. We will reach the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It will be ours forever. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, face to face, and we will become what we behold. You see this? Friends, the Philippians loved the Roman Empire. They loved it. They fought and bled and died for her glory. But the gospel changes everything. Their heavenly citizenship, you see, now outranks their Roman citizenship. Their heavenly Lord and Savior outranks their earthly Lord and Savior. Remember, Paul has said, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Our minds are not fixed on earthly things. No, we know our citizenship is in heaven, which means spiritual maturity is living here while belonging there. Spiritual maturity is living here while belonging there. We reside as citizens of earth, but we belong to the citizenship of heaven. Because we, as the people of God, friends, we're like an embassy. We're an embassy. You know, an embassy, there's embassies here, right? And in our country, it's a little space that is not under the jurisdiction of our country. It's under the jurisdiction of a far-off land, of another rule. The church is, in a sense, an embassy of heaven on earth. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, which means that we are fully here and yet faithfully there. Fully here and yet faithfully there. We are in the world, but not of the world. To be citizens of heaven means that we avoid two equal but opposite errors that are so prone to happen in the church. The first error is syncretism. Syncretism. This is the chameleon posture. This is when we try to go with the flow of the culture. We compromise little by little, and we slowly become just like everyone else around us. We just sort of blend in. This is the history of theological liberalism, of so many progressive evangelical bloggers or the ex-evangelical movement, who find that the teachings of Jesus are too at odds with the dominant popular cultural views, and so seek to accommodate and reinterpret and reinvent, and eventually are disloyal to the teachings of Jesus. This is a huge danger in our world, especially when we're young and we're trying so desperately to fit in. And it's a slow fade. Before we realize what's happened, we find ourselves just like everyone else, seduced by the tyranny of majority opinion. Syncretism. We can't go there. The other error is separatism. separatism. This is the turtle posture. It sort of pulls in and isolates itself in self-protection, hoping the big bad world will go away. This is the tendency of conservative churches. We have a tendency to form a Christian bubble. And we have our Christian music and our Christian movies and our Christian dentists and our Christian mechanics and our Christian coffee shops and our Christian schools. And we create a world within a world without any real contact with the outside world. So syncretism doesn't work because it maintains presence but without holiness. And separatism maintains holiness but loses presence. You see this? But there is a better way. It's the way of Jesus. It's to live as citizens of earth while belonging to the citizenship of heaven. To be in the world but not of the world. It is the way of the incarnation. It's the incarnation. It's what Jesus showed us. It's what he did for us. When Jesus came to this world, he became human in every way, didn't he? He became one with us, fully present, God in the flesh. He ate with sinners and tax collectors. He was fully present, fully proximate, and yet he never gave up his holiness, did he? Fully God, utterly holy and divine. He never lost his purity. So Jesus did not do syncretism where he blended in and lost his holiness, nor did he separate out where he preserved his holiness at the cost of being with us. No, he gave us an incarnation. He was present and holy at once. And friends, this is the path of what it means to be citizens of heaven and citizens of earth. It is a risk-laden choice to maintain strong links with the world around us while staying true to our identity as the holy people of God. It is the call to be in the world, but not of the world, to be salt and light, to use Jesus' language. Salt that loses its saltiness is useless, but it needs to maintain its saltiness while being scattered into the decaying world around it. Light cannot lose its light. It needs to maintain its purity, but it is not to be hidden and sequestered and concealed. It is to be shining into the darkness. We are to let our little lights shine. This is the call to live as fully engaged citizens of earth, whose real, true, and ultimate home and allegiance belong to the citizenship of heaven. This is how spiritually mature people live, Paul says. They don't set their minds on earthly things, they set their hope on heaven itself. They know their citizenship is in heaven. So let me speak very directly to our world right now. Friends, as much as we love our nation, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Amen? We await a Savior and Lord from there. We do not live for Rome. We do not live for America. We live for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We do not hope in the coming of Caesar. These were military guys. They looked forward to the day when Caesar came to the battlefield with the rest of the troops and they won the day. We do not hope for the coming of Caesar. We do not hope for the coming of our favorite politician. We hope in the coming of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who will return and transform our lowly bodies, so that we will be like him in glory and by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is what we wait for. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. stand firm thus in the Lord. What is the thus? In this way. What way, Paul? In the way of spiritual maturity that recognizes that spiritual maturity is not a destination, but a pursuit that is filled with humility about our limited progress and confidence about the pursuit of all that we have in Jesus Christ, who know that spiritual maturity is less caught and more taught. And so we imitate the godly examples that God has given to us, following their lead and setting an example for those who are following after us. We live here, knowing we belong there. Living as citizens of heaven, and yet fully present and holy wherever we go, allowing the gospel to reorder the allegiance of our hearts, to shape our politics, and we fix our hope on our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, our soon and coming King. So the takeaway is simple. Brothers and sisters, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. Jesus is coming back soon.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today as we talk about the dangers of maturity. And let's just get right to it. You talk about the chameleon and syncretism and the problems with that.
Yeah. Well, Paul's talking about, you know, how do we live as these dual citizens, citizens of heaven, citizens of earth. And there really are, there's two main errors. The first one is syncretism. This is the chameleon posture that tends to like relate to the world through just trying to blend in and fit in and be cool and sort of like take the teachings of Jesus that are widely acceptable to the culture and lead with those and sort of downplay where Jesus might rebuke the culture or critique it or challenge the culture. So what happens, and you see this in certain stripes of evangelicalism, there are Christians who are trying to accommodate the teachings of Jesus to be more palatable to the broader cultural moment and sort of, you know, just say, well, this is what Jesus means, and sort of just take away the friction. And that leads us to be disloyal to the teachings of Jesus. It leads us to be unfaithful. We get selective about what parts of the Bible we like, and we downplay other things. And it's a slippery slope. It leads us to abandoning all kinds of convictional things about the Bible. And this is the path of sort of liberal Christianity. You can see it everywhere. It's just this accommodating chameleon, blend in, be cool, whatever it takes. That's an error. And it leads us away from spiritual maturity. The other error is the turtle posture, and that's the separatism impulse. And you could see this in our cultural moment as well. This sort of like, we've got to hide out from the big bad culture, and we got to create a little Christian subculture. So we have Christian books and Christian radio and Christian music and Christian dentists and Christian coffee houses and like everything. You know what I mean? We just sort of retreat from engagement in the culture in order to be faithful. And so, but the problem is syncretism gives up holiness in order to be present, but separatism gives up presence in order to be holy. And Jesus gives us a third way, which is this, the model of the incarnation, which is where he's fully present, fully engaged. He sits with sinners and tax collectors. He's proximate with them. And yet he never gives up one ounce of his holiness. He's totally divine and holy in every way. So he doesn't give up his convictions or his identity or anything that has to do with his deep, you know, godliness. And yet he's fully present in the world around us. And so that's this incarnational posture that we see patterned by Jesus. That's what Paul's calling us to be in the world, but not of the world, to be citizens of earth who live as citizens of heaven while being fully engaged here as citizens of earth. And that is full of balance and tension. And it doesn't mean we fully retreat, and it doesn't mean we fully accommodate. It's a different posture. It's the posture of an incarnate presence, fully holy to God in every way, and yet fully present with a lost and dying world, representing Christ in everything that we're doing. So that's, and it's hard. That's not an easy place to live. It's full of tension, but that's where Paul's calling us to.
Well, that's how the things like Christian radio and Christian books can help us. But so on the one hand, Pastor Philip, we have the chameleon approach that could march us into idolatry if we're going to start cherry picking things that we like and disregard what we don't in order to blend in. And then we've got the turtle phenomenon where, okay, I'm just not going to engage in all. So it's hard to be salt and light if you're not engaging. It's hard to talk about grace and the gospel if you're not engaging. So now we've got this tension we have to balance. So I'm sure many of our listeners are saying, okay, I want to have a voice in my community, my representatives that go to the Capitol or to Washington. I should be involved in politics, but how do I balance this dual citizenship against politics? Ooh, we said it.
Yeah, so we're citizens of Earth, which means we need to be a part of our political moment. So we need to have a voice. We need to represent Christian values. I want to live in a society that is shaped by Christian values as much as possible. I want to live in a culture that honors Christ. So we represent those things. But at the same time, we don't put all our hope and all of our trust in political solutions, because we belong to a citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to a higher kingdom, an eternal, glorious kingdom of Christ that will outlive all these political structures today. And our true Savior is from heaven. And so we don't put all of our hopes in whatever the latest political figure is that everyone's running after, because they always are going to promise to save the world. And we already have a Savior of the world. And so we don't give the same level of allegiance to our political leaders. We don't get whipped up with the same measure of fear and desperation. We don't have to be fully complicit in everything that's going on, because we've been freed from the kind of tribal politicalism that draws us into these, like, they demand our whole allegiance. But our allegiance is already given to a higher king and a higher Savior and a higher Lord. That's what's happening in Philippi. They used to live for Caesar. Now they live for Christ. And so it's the kingdom of heaven is transcending the allegiance, the call of our hearts. We live on a different plane of existence now that King Jesus has taken over our lives. It doesn't mean we don't engage in this political moment, but we engage differently because our highest allegiance and hopes are found in Christ and his kingdom. And that just, it just pulls us a little bit above the fray in a way that we can see clearer, be a little bit more emotionally measured, and not as quickly captivated by our political moment, and yet fully engaged in the issues that matter.
And amen. All right, you ambassadors, I hope you're encouraged. I know I am by our discussion today. To continue growing into the image of Christ, we must consistently turn to the truths of the gospel. That's why we're offering Peter Mead's book, The New Birth. If we're citizens of heaven, we must understand how different our new life is from the spiritual death that once defined us. In one of the chapters, Dr. Mead shows that the new birth provides us with eternal life now, transforming how we engage the world today. Now, whether you're looking for a deeper understanding of what it means to be spiritually alive, or you have a friend or a family member exploring what it means to be truly born again, this resource is just what you need. And for a limited time, we're offering the new birth for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.